This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, beautiful people. These wonderful children have spent this week together. They are children from both West End and Belmont United Methodist Churches, and they've been learning the story of Moses, and we just experienced a great performance of Moses and the Freedom Fanatics upstairs in the fourth floor theater. And they're going to invite us all into worship this morning with their singing. So we want to say thank you for all your hard work this week and for leading us this morning in worship. Hope you had fun. A special word of welcome to you if you're visiting with us. I know we have some folks from Belmont who are here this morning to support and celebrate with these children. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we hope that you feel welcome here and have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you, especially at the time of passing of the peace or after the service. I hope that you feel welcomed and surrounded by the love of Christ this morning. There are announcements inserted in the bulletin, in the colorful insert. There's one change to some of the information in there about the youth mystery trip. That trip will no longer be over the course of 3 days. Instead, they're going to go on Saturday to Holiday World, and there's an opportunity to register online, and information is there in that insert. We are making our way through the 13th chapter of Matthew over the course of these few weeks and hearing some of Jesus' parables that reveal to us truth about the kingdom of God. This morning, we hear the story of the weeds and the wheat. So I invite you to open your ears, hearts, and minds to hear this story and to be ready to hear good news about our God and our calling in God's name. Let's worship together.
Sing unto the Lord of Signa, joyful song. Freedom comes at last to Israel. Lord knows each and every one of us and loves each one dearly.
Sometimes it feels as though God has drifted away from us.
Be strong. Look for the ways in which God is present to you.
Given all the troubles of the day, we often look more closely at Him.
Come, open your hearts and spirits to God's love and presence.
Lord, help us to see your presence in all of life's circumstances.
Be seated. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Therefore, let us turn to Christ and confess our sins together, that we may find rest for our souls. Patient Lord, it is so easy for us to focus on all the things that are wrong. We spend much time and energy in anger and sorrow, leaving behind the possibilities of hope and service to you. Ease our hearts, O Lord. Forgive our willingness to get caught up in the negative. Direct our steps toward positive actions that will produce growth and peace. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God's seeds of love have already been sown in your midst. Come and see the love of God outpoured for you. You are God's beloved ones. Come, live in the light of God.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Clement and Katie Ledbetter bring their son, Marshall McLaughlin Ledbetter, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift offered to us without price. So Katie and Clement, as you bring Mac, as you're calling him, before us for baptism, I ask you the questions of the faith that have been asked of Christians from the beginning of the church. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. And will you nurture Marshall McLaughlin in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, my friends, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Marshall McLaughlin now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround his child with community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow, and when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Dear children, you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Name is given this child?
Marshall McLaughlin.
Marshall McLaughlin Ledbetter. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if you'd like to place a hand on him, we'll pray together for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Marshall McLaughlin, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Mac, we're going to go for a walk and meet some of your church family. These are the folks who are going to live out before you the gospel of Jesus, and they're going to teach you how much God loves you with their words and their actions. Some of them will be Sunday school teachers, some of them mentors, all of of them will be your friends in faith. They're going to make a promise to be part of your life from this day forward. My friends, this is Mac. Let us welcome him in Christian love.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Marshall McLaughlin to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Marshall McLaughlin. And we welcome you, Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God.
Oh,
the adults are being seated, I invite children of any age to come forward. And if you want to bring a parent, a grandparent, a friend up with you, that is great. I love seeing all these music camp t-shirts. You all worked really hard this week and really blessed us this morning with your singing. Ooh, look at them all. Wonderful. This is great. Special welcome to our friends from Belmont. We're really glad to have you with us this morning. So we are in the middle of the 13th chapter of Matthew this morning. And Jesus has been telling some stories. Stories, we call them parables. Any of you heard the word parable before? It's just an extra long word for story. Jesus was trying to teach people about God and about what life with God looks like. And he had this wonderful way of not using big words, but telling simple stories. And all three of the stories, that one that we heard last week and this week and next week, have to do with gardening or farming. And as I thought about it, in each of the stories, there's something about seeds. A seed. And it made me think about how God plants in each and every one of you, and each and every one of us here today, and in every single person on the whole wide earth, a seed of God's love. And our job is to know that it's there, to say thank you to God, and to do everything we can to help that seed grow by loving God and loving other people, being kind, saying our prayers, reading our Bible, coming to church to worship, doing things for people who need help. That's part of how we help the seed of God's love grow in us. And part of what we need to do, too, is to help other people know that the seed of God's love is in them. So we're sort of gardeners for God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much for loving us. Just as we celebrated the baptism of little Mac and helped to tell him, even as small as he is, that God's love is inside of him. Help us to know that your love is inside us too, and that we're meant to share it. Help that seed of your love grow into a beautiful tree, a beautiful flower of love within us. Thank you so much. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. Thanks for listening. You can go back to your seats, rejoin your parents, grandparents, or your friends. Some of you may be wondering where I was last week. I had someone joking with me in the narthex before the 8:45 service. Well, you preached on Sabbath and then you left. We thought you were taking a long Sabbath already. Actually, I was at a family reunion. This is a tradition that's been part of my life and part of my family, and one from which you'll probably hear many stories in the months and years ahead. We call it camp meeting, and every year I gather with 600 of my closest relatives on a campground just outside of Brownsville, Tennessee. We stay in these rustic cabins, which are now, thank goodness, the bedrooms at least have air conditioning units. And we worship two times a day, or three times if you get up early to go to prayer meeting. It's an old Methodist camp meeting. It's been going on since 1826, when the five Taylor brothers settled that land and called together their neighbors for a revival. So, I have been revived, and I have been with my family, and I've still got the red dirt of West Tennessee on my feet. It was a wonderful week. One of the things I love doing when I'm at camp meeting is getting up early and going to prayer meeting, and then taking a walk down Tabernacle Road from the church where we worship down the road toward where my grandmother's old house is. I never make it all the way to her house because then I would miss breakfast, but I take that walk almost every day. And as I walk along Tabernacle Road, looking to the right and to the left, Basically, all I see is farmland. Rows and rows and rows of cotton and soybeans and corn, and there's even one field that had sunflowers in it. And it's just beautiful. And I admire those fields of crops and how neat the rows are. And I have several cousins and family members who are farmers in West Tennessee. And I love hearing from them how farming works and all of their knowledge around how to make a good crop. It is not easy work. And as I listen to them talking about farming, I start wondering how in the world I missed that skill. That gene did not land in my chromosomes because I cannot grow anything to save my life. I am not a gardener. But as we look at these parables of Jesus in the 13th chapter of Matthew, even I know that there's some funny gardening going on. If you were here last week, you heard Brandon explore with you the story of the sower, where the farmer goes out with a bunch of seeds and just scatters them everywhere. It seems like he loses 3/4 of the seeds. That doesn't seem like very wise farming to me. I wonder what my cousins and relatives would think of that if I suggested it as a farming technique. And then when we get to this story today, the story of the wheat and the weeds, it seems like an unorthodox technique of farming. You remember the story? The farmer goes out into the field and sows good wheat. But in the night, while everyone's asleep, an enemy comes and sows weeds into the field. And as the crops begin to grow, it's obvious to the people who work on the farm, the reapers, that there are weeds mixed in with the wheat. And so they go to the farmer and say, "Don't you want us to pull the weeds?" And he says, "No, just leave it be. When harvest time comes, we'll take the whole crop and I'll sort it out." Don't pull the weeds. I mean, even as a child, that was one of my chores, to go into the garden and pull weeds. Weeds get in the way of plants growing, don't they? They can draw up all the nutrients from the soil. They can take over a garden so your plants don't flower or bear fruit. What kind of gardener is this that doesn't want the weeds pulled? It's exactly that kind of tension that draws our attention. It makes us wonder what Jesus is trying to tell us about God. "Don't pull the weeds," says the farmer, "because in doing so, you'll damage the good wheat. It could do a lot of damage." So what is it that this parable means? Parables always mean many things. But one of the things I think this means is that it's not our job to sort out the wheat from the weeds. It's not our job to determine the good from the bad. And Jesus makes it clear in his explanation of this parable that when we talk about the crop, we're talking about people. This is one of the few parables that Jesus explains to his disciples. The parable of the sower was another one. But he says to them that the wheat are the children of light, those who follow the way of Christ, who are trying to live God's way. And the weeds are those who refuse to live in God's way. And they're all mixed in together. And so Jesus is trying to tell his listeners it is not up to anyone except God to determine who is who, who's in and who's out, who's a child of light and a child of darkness. That is not your job, Jesus says. There are some who say Matthew included this parable in his gospel because there were lots of Christian communities in Matthew's day who were obsessed with keeping the church pure. They didn't want certain kinds of people in the church. And so they had a bad reputation for weeding people out. And Matthew includes this parable in Jesus' gospel to say, that's not your job, church. That's not your job. It's not only in Matthew's day, is it? Christian communities and churches, even in our own day, spend so much time and energy focused on determining who is in and who is out. who is worthy and who is not worthy. Maybe you've experienced some of that. I have a friend who was part of a church all of her life, grew up in the church, loved the people. When she got to be an adult, she taught Sunday school, she sang in the choir, she gave generously, she was an integral part of that congregation, and then she went through a divorce. And the pastor called her in and said, "You can't teach Sunday school anymore. You can come to worship, but you can't have any responsibilities. You can't be in ministry anymore in this church because you're divorced." And it broke her heart. There are congregations and churches and Christian communities who say, "You can't come here if you're not straight. You're not welcome. You're out. You're not worthy." Jesus said, the farmer told the reapers, "If you pull the weeds, if you try pulling the weeds, you will do damage." And boy, has the church done great damage, not only to individual people who have felt pushed out, but to our witness in the world. You've probably heard it before. There have been many surveys, but there was a Barna survey done of millennials, young adults, asking non-churchgoers what their impression was of Christians. And the number one word used to describe Christians by 87% of the respondents to the survey was judgmental. Is that our witness in the world? Now I know it's not the witness of this congregation. I've got the t-shirt, and I've worn the t-shirt that says God loves everyone unconditionally. And in our newsletter that's coming out, you can hear, read stories of people who've been touched by that message on those shirts. It makes our mission even more urgent in our world to offer a different kind of witness of Christ's love. And to remember, it is not our job to decide who's in and who's out, who's worthy and who isn't. In fact, if we look at the explanation of the parable that Jesus gives his disciples, it's nowhere near our job. He says, the farmer is the Son of Man, Jesus himself, God, sowing the seeds that are good. The enemy is the evil one who comes and sows weeds in the field. The reapers, the one that the farmer says, don't pull the weeds, the reapers are the angels. Well, wait, what does that make us then? We are the grass. We are the crop. And as I think about those fields of cotton and soybeans and corn, I think, if I were one of those plants, I couldn't tell what was a weed and what wasn't. I don't have God's view of people. We don't know the full story behind someone. We don't know their whole heart. We can't see what God sees. And so, Jesus says, it is not our job. So what is our job? I think our job is to be the best stalks of wheat that we can be. So grounded in the love and grace of Jesus Christ that we can grow in his love and in his likeness each and every day. Reminded every day of the grace and forgiveness and love that has accepted us as we are, and staying rooted in that and humble enough to recognize we don't see what God sees. To be the best stalks of wheat that we can be. Now let me give a little parenthetical thing, whatever the word would be. I don't think this parable is saying that in the community of faith, anything goes. You just love everybody and don't worry about it. I don't think that's Jesus' message. Too much of his teaching and too many of the teachings of Paul and James and so many others in Scripture tell us otherwise. It is important for us as a community of faith to speak the truth to one another in love, to be willing to say to each other, I'm not sure you're living up to the calling of Christ in this situation. This doesn't meet the standard of love that Christ set for us. That's not easy to do. But I do think that's part of loving community. Some of you may remember Judy Hoffman, who was on staff here a few years ago. We were at a clergy meeting not too long ago, and she said something that really stuck with me and was very helpful. She said, everybody is welcome at the table. Everybody is welcome at the table, but not every behavior is. It's not okay to be abusive. It's not okay to use our power to manipulate others. It's not okay to be greedy and step on other people for our own advancement. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, has all sorts of lists of things that are not okay in the church. But we speak to one another grounded in that love of Christ, with the goal that all of us might grow to be good wheat in the world. When you think about it, this parable really is good news. It feels like good news to me. We don't have to worry about figuring other people out. We don't have to carry the burden of standing at the door to decide who's in and who's out. That's not our job, thanks be to God. Our job is to love as God loves, to love God and love neighbor, and be the best field of wheat that we can be for the good of God's world. May it be so. As part of the body of Christ, we work with the Holy Spirit to grow that seed of God's love within us by coming to worship, by praying, by affirming our faith together each and every week. So I would invite you, as you are able, to stand and join with me in our affirmation of faith, which is found on page 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. And now, as forgiven and a reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today, and if you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you may have They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there, indicating if they are to be shared or to be confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to open it and to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone who may not know, who you may not know at the end of the service. On this beautiful day, we want to lift our hearts in praise and celebrate the birth of Amos William Matheny on July 3rd to parents Leslie and Logan Matheny. And also, once again, we've said it several times, but we are especially glad to have the children and families and leaders from Webb Music Camp with us this morning, many of whom are from our sister congregation, Belmont United Methodist Church. The children presented their musical between the services today, and we are grateful for their leadership also in the singing of the introit for this morning's worship service. So thanks again to all Webb Music Camp participants. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, living God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you in prayer as children of light. We pray that we would trust in your great faithfulness. Help us be a people who seek your righteousness and goodness. Creating and sustaining, Lord, we pray for a world that is hurting. Wherever war and violence rage, we pray that your peace will prevail. Wherever poverty and hunger threaten to destroy, we pray that your abundance would be known. Wherever sickness and injury arise, we pray that your healing presence would be felt. We pray for the church, that by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, we might be faithful witnesses of your work in the world. And we pray for our city and our community. As it grows in size and influence, may it also grow in compassion and mercy. We pray that the place we call home would make room for all of God's children. Grant us the wisdom and courage to welcome friend and stranger alike. We pray for our enemies, for those who cause harm and destruction through word and deed. We pray that they might know your mercy and grace. We pray for reconciliation and wholeness in broken relationships. Almighty God, help us find unity and wholeness where division remains. Most holy Lord, we pray for ourselves. In our struggles, grant us perseverance. In our weakness, grant us strength. In our fear, grant us courage. In our despair, grant us hope. All these things we pray to you, living God, and we lift our voices and pray as Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We bring our tithes and offerings in thanksgiving for God's abiding presence, and we give with grateful hearts. May our gifts be a witness to God's ongoing work in the world.
in Jesus' name, to love as Jesus loves. We know the kinds of people Jesus spent time with, whom the world would have said were weeds, and yet he loved them. May we go to love like that, all people, all places, and be good people.